Amos chapter 7. Thus the Lord Yahweh showed me, and behold, he formed locusts in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth, and behold, it was the latter growth after the king's harvest. It happened that when they made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, Lord Yahweh, forgive, I beseech you. How could Jacob stand, for he is so small? Yahweh relented, that is, he changed his mind concerning this. It shall not be, says Yahweh. So, what you see here is that God is open to change and that prayer changes things. God's showing Amos a vision of the land being destroyed by locusts, and Amos says, oh, Lord, don't do that. Jacob is so small and weak anyway, the people of Israel. Okay, God says, I won't do it. It's rather like God saying to Israel, I will destroy you and I will make of Moses a great nation. But Moses says, oh, I don't do that. And God says, okay, I won't. Now, this is different to how a lot of people understand God, where they say God can't change. And that's, of course, how the idols were made, with a stone face that had no emotion, no feeling. But our God, the one true God, is different. He does change. He does have feelings. And he says, in 40 days Nineveh shall be destroyed. He doesn't say, if they don't repent. He just said it. But they did repent. And so he said, okay, it won't happen. So prayer changes things. It's a little bit difficult to get your head around, but if God doesn't change at all, there'd be no point in praying. And God said to Hezekiah, put your house in order, you're going to die. Oh, I don't want to die. Please, please, please. Okay, God says, have another 15 years. So God is open to us, and I think the reason why he's like that is so that we will pray more intensely to him. Then the Lord Yahweh showed me a judgment by fire, and it dried up the great deep and would have devoured the land. See, it was about to burn up the land, it had burnt up the sea. Then I said, Lord Yahweh, cease, I beg you. How could Jacob stand, for he is so small? Yahweh relented concerning this. This also shall not be, says the Lord Yahweh. So again, God changes, but there's a verse in Malachi where God says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not destroyed. So the one bit where he doesn't change is where he will not destroy his people. His grace and his love is the bit that doesn't change. But how he quite works that out in practice often does. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood beside a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. Yahweh said to me, Amos, what do you see? I said, a plumb line. Now, a plumb line is what you use to see if a wall has been built straight. Then the Lord said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again change my mind about punishing them. So he had changed his mind. And he said, I'm not going to change it again. The high places of Isaac will be desolate. The sanctuaries of Israel will be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So God is saying, I'm going to test this wall of Israel and see how straight it is. Then Amaziah, priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for Amos says, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of his land. Amaziah said to Amos, you prophet, go, flee into the land of Judah, and there eat your bread and prophesy there. But don't prophesy again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a royal house. So this is what happens. If you preach the truth, you're going to find people turn against you. As Paul says to the Galatians, I might become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And this, unfortunately, is how it will be. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman are always somehow against each other. And so as soon as you go out into this world and actually tell people that, hey, there's another way to live, and there is a God, and there is Jesus who died for you, and he has a claim upon you, a demand upon you, people won't like it. Some people will say yes. Other people will shrug and move on, just like happened with Paul when he preached, and other people will try to persecute you. And that is how it will always be. And here, Amos is preaching to the people of God. And they tell him, well, just go away. We don't want to listen to this. This is not comfortable for us. And Amos replied to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore figs. Now, sycamore figs were the cheapest sort of figs that they actually just fed to the animals, but very poor people also ate them. And so he says, look, I'm not a religious specialist. I'm not a pastor. I was just an ordinary, very humble working man, just gathering sycamore figs. That was what I was, a gatherer of figs. It was right at the bottom of society, and God put his word in my mouth. And so the fact that God put his word in his mouth means that you don't have to be a smart person for God to choose you. God will work with you. And God will not demand that you're just a well-educated person or whatever, not at all. God uses children. He uses uneducated people. Like when Peter stood up and preached, they said, huh, these men are not educated. They could tell by the way Peter spoke he wasn't an educated man. But that was okay. All the same, God worked with him and through him. Now therefore, listen to the word of Yahweh. So he's saying, well, because I'm like that, because I wasn't an educated guy and I'm a gatherer of sycamore fruit, therefore listen to the word of Yahweh through me. You say, don't prophesy against Israel and don't preach against the house of Isaac. Just like Peter was told, don't preach. And the Jews told him that. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by line, and you yourself shall die in a land that is unclean. And Israel shall surely be led away captive out of his land. Now you see the similarity with Peter. He preaches, and the Jews go over him and say, don't preach, stop preaching. But he still preaches. And yet Jesus says, if they persecute you in one city, flee to another. So you've got to not be foolish, but we should be prepared for opposition. And to be a Christian is not a case of just going along with all your mates on a Sunday to a place of religion and going through worship and so on. I mean, it is that, it can be that. But Christianity, being a Christian, is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a lot. It may cost you your physical life. It's going to cost you everything, in a sense. But we freely give it because we love God and we want to give him and to give Jesus all that we have.